Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I wanted to give it a little bit of time before I put this guy on, because while I find him very entertaining, I could understand why the Yankee fan would find him incredibly obnoxious. But right now, Yankee fan, Met fan, whatever fan you are, he is a fan and a guy who's covered the world champion Boston Red Sox. He was on the freaking float for the Boston Red Sox, and that is Jared Carrabas of Barstool. Welcome back, Jared. How you doing?
Devin, how you doing? I mean, it's been a while. I know that we haven't talked in quite a bit, but a lot has happened since the last time that we got to talk. And I think the thing that I like most about coming on this show is the tweet that you send out to announce that I'm coming on. How many people did that tweet upset?
No, I figured that. And I wanted to give it time because I don't want the Yankee fan to feel like you're coming on and you're going to throw salt in all of their wounds. It's been a while now. It's been a month since the Red Sox beat the Yankees. It's been a couple of weeks since you guys won the World Series. But I want to start there, all right? The Yankees are not as good as the Red Sox, all right? You guys just won a World Series. And over the last decade, the Red Sox have been better than the Yankees. Even the Yankee fan would admit that. Why, though, are the Yankees still in your head? You know what I mean? Like, why are you still doing the Yankees suck chant? You know, why is that still going on? Aren't you guys past that at this point?
I can only speak to myself here. I can't tell you the last time that I've ever participated in a Yankee suck chant. I think I want to say it was probably around like 03, 04. I kind of gave it up after the 04 ALCS. I was like, yeah, all right, well, that we had a good run. You want to keep it going? I'm not going to judge you for it. I'm just not going to partake in it. However, being able to just snatch New York, New York from the Yankees and their fans and now make that the Red Sox victory song,
oh, geez.
That is something that I take great pride
in. Did you really, and Red Sox players, but I can ask you personally, did you really think Aaron Judge was trolling you when he did that, walking through the bowels of Fenway Park?
Of course he was. Of course he was. And the Red Sox players took it that way. We've interviewed a bunch of them since then and asked them the question. They're like, oh, of course that's what it was. You don't walk by the Red Sox clubhouse playing New York, New York, after a victory in which that was a game that David Price started.
Yes,
and
he did.
Of course, you saw by the end of the World Series, David Price is probably the most respected and most beloved player in that Red Sox clubhouse. So, I mean, the guy's got headphones. He wanted it to be heard out loud. He knew that he was walking by the Red Sox clubhouse, and it was the playoffs, Red Sox, Yankees, so he knew that there was media everywhere. It's not like he posed for a picture or posted it himself like Alex Bregman did in the ALCS. He knew that that was going to be seen and heard by the PA. Everyone was saying, oh, well, the players can't hear it from inside the clubhouse. Doesn't matter. You knew that that was going to get back to them, even if there was no video of it. Some beat writer would have tweeted, Aaron Judge just walked by the Red Sox clubhouse playing New York, New York. So, yes, I think that it was intentional. Yes, I know that the players took great exception to it. And, I mean, it's a 108-win team doesn't exactly need more motivation, and they got it from that.
But I don't think that, you know, you're in the playoffs. You're playing the Yankees. You're trying to win a World Series where the bar was, hey, you better win the World Series. You just won 108 games. I don't think motivation's a factor. You're already motivated. You got to go beat the Yankees and go win a World Series.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying that they were dead in the water before Aaron Judge walked by with the boombox, but it was a factor. However big, however small, we can debate that, but it was a factor. And obviously they come out the next night 16-1, and then they get the job done in game four. So however much you want to attribute to it, however small of a piece of the pie it is a piece of the pie.
You know, I was going to try. I wanted to have you on because I did the show before that game from Fenway Park, but you're a big star. You were doing your podcast, the Section 10 podcast, if I'm not mistaken. Doing it from a bar. You're a big deal. Plus, the other reason I wasn't going to put you on is I was doing my show from the Yankee radio booth. And boy, that just would have been the ultimate of disrespect to the Yankees to have you, of all people, walking into the same booth as John Sterling and Susan Waldman. So I ended up not doing it, but correct me if I'm wrong here, and I am an honest guy. I'm a Met fan, okay? I'm being very honest.
Yeah.
I was very unimpressed with the electricity at Fenway Park before Game 2. I thought you guys came across very corporate, you know, very, it's Yankees, Red Sox, whatever. I felt nothing in that ballpark as compared to what I felt at Yankee Stadium. Now, be fair with me. Is that an accurate description of the way you guys acted at Fenway throughout this playoff run? Because it felt that way.
It's more than accurate, and I said that. I said that on the podcast. I said that in all the video stuff that we were doing. It was electric during the World Series, obviously, but even the ALCS, it wasn't really anything to write home about. I don't know what to really attribute that to. Like, I think during Game 1, when Chris Sale was on the mound, and it was Red Sox, Yankees, here we go, first time since 2004, the comparison that I made was that it felt like when Mario gets the star and he's running around all crazy, and then when Chris Sale came out of the game, and back then, I mean, this is Game 1,
right,
first round, everyone was talking about how terrible the Red Sox bullpen is, how they could never win a World Series with this bullpen. You take Chris Sale out, and now you go to that bullpen, and the crowd is just like, oh, no, this is bad. So I think the crowd is reactionary based on the scenario. So they were electric when Chris Sale was pitching. They kind of dulled down when Chris Sale came out. They were already sort of dreading the David Price start because that was before he came the best postseason pitcher of all time. And the end result was he got, what was it, inning and two-thirds?
Right.
So they were right to sort of be tense in that moment. So I think that those were the biggest factors were they were kind of reacting to the situation. The Red Sox bullpen, they dreaded. David Price in the playoffs, they dreaded, and they reacted as such.
You know what I think it is, and you could take this as a partial compliment, I think. It's kind of like the Yankees of the mid to late 2000s, where I think you guys are just very spoiled. You know, you've been there, you've won a few championships. You don't have that same air of desperation that you had in 2003, 2004 that Met fans have when they're in the playoffs, and even to a degree Yankee fans have because they want to win. They've only won one championship in the last 18 years, and for them that's not a lot. I also think it's a little bit of that, that you guys are just, you know, you're kind of very cocky right now.
I don't think it's that because the Red Sox, you have to remember, that 2013 World Series was sandwiched in between two last-place seasons and then another one after the 2014 last-place season and then back-to-back first-round exit. I mean, it's not like, and then if you want to even go further back, then you have 2011. That was the collapse in September. So you have the World Series title in 2013, but it was 2011, September collapse, 2012, last place.
Jared, are you listening to yourself? Are you listening to yourself? I mean, think about it. I get all that what you're saying, last place, the collapse. You have championships between them. I mean, do you understand what that sounds like?
One championship.
Oh, that's it, just one.
2013. We're going to go back to 2007. Sure. Count that too?
Absolutely. I'm counting 04, 7, 13. Three titles in the last 30. That's a lot. I know in Boston you don't see that. That's a lot.
If you're following the team on a day-to-day basis, you're watching every single pitch. But yeah, you know, you're not as hungry, more so because of 13, but having back-to-back first-round exits, I mean, you guys do a great job. In Boston, it is nonstop negativity. The sky is falling every single day when they're talking about the Red Sox window is closing, and they traded all their top prospects to put together this team, and if they don't win a World Series, then it's a colossal failure. So yes, the championships lessen the blow of a first-round exit. But if you're a diehard Red Sox fan, who cares what happened before? Like, you're trying to win every single year. We're not the Cubs. We're not like, okay, you know, we're just happy to be here, and we're all going to come out and take me out to the ball game, and we'll sing the songs, and it'll all be great. But at Fenway, there is an expectation to win the World Series every single year, just as there is amongst Yankees fans.
Yeah.
So, it lessens the blow, but it certainly doesn't take the heat off this team. I mean, John Farrell basically was run out of town.
Sure.
by the media. So, and that's a guy that won a World Series in his first year as Red Sox manager. So, yeah, I think there's definitely an element of we're spoiled. We've seen three and now four. So I don't know how that's going to affect the mood moving forward. But certainly the Red Sox fans don't say, we've got our World Series titles. We're fine with what we got.
We're talking to Jared Karrabiss. The Red Sox obviously are Karrabiss. So Karrabiss. See, I've mostly got it right now. I've got the mental block out of my head because I actually enjoyed watching all your dopey videos throughout the playoffs, especially once you got to the World Series. I loved it even more because I really didn't know who to root for as a baseball fan. I wanted a good series. And when you're yelling at Dodger score guy, when he's reminding you what the score is as they're collapsing, it cracked me up. It was very, very funny. So I found myself
the worst comeback of all time when he's chirping me about the score and the Dodgers were still winning 4-3 and then Steve Pierce ties it up 4-4. The worst comeback of all time is it's 4-4. But yeah, I know, buddy. The game you blew a 4-0 lead in the seventh inning.
That was unbelievable. You know, I like your manager. I wanted him to manage the Mets. I knew he wouldn't take the Met job because he could get the Red Sox job, but I was very surprised. Like, I'm just some dude. I'm a nobody, all right, Jared? I'm on MLB Network once and forever, and I'm just giving an opinion that I think is very common, that I think most people agree with, which is that David Price, for as good as he's been as a regular season pitcher, is the worst postseason pitcher I've ever seen, considering how good he is in the regular season. I didn't think much of it, okay? I'm not sitting there trying to give a stupid hot take. It's a fact. I mean, that's reality. I watched the game. I'm not even rooting against you guys. Like, I have no issue with David Price. And I'm surprised that a manager in Boston would be that sensitive about little old me saying something on MLB Network that he brings it up on his own to say, you know, that really bothered me. I'm thinking about it in the dugout. He manages in Boston. Why would he think about anything that's said by the media during a baseball game?
Yeah, I mean, but I think that speaks to this group where it's not just the one comment that was picked up by Cora. I mean, they paid attention to everything that everybody said all year long. And, you know, I'm sure if the Red Sox didn't win the World Series, there would be media in Boston that would spin that into, oh, this group of guys, they're super sensitive and they have rabbit ears and they're never going to succeed in this market because they care too much about what people think about them and what they say about them. But I think that they were able to take everything and bottle it up and use it as motivation over the entire season because there was no lull period for this 2018 Red Sox team. They got swept one time by the Tampa Bay Rays, a weekend series. That was it. They were swept once on Players Weekend, which is bad luck. I don't think that they've ever won with the nickname jersey, which is bizarre. But they've been a group that has sort of been able to maintain not just success, but dominance since day one. They had the best record in spring training. They had the best record in baseball in spring training and then went out the gate and finished the job. And that's what I'll remember them most for, is just the dominance, like losing one game in each round. And I even went back to that World Series being like, they swept that World Series in five games. It was 5-0 because there was the game that they lost, the 18-inning game, they had a situation where they were up by one run with two outs and Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. That's a win. That's like Ian Kinsler blew that game right there.
Oh, yeah.
But what's the win probability in your mind? One run lead, Eovaldi, the way that he was pitching all postseason, two outs. Like, the win probability has to be north of 95% in that situation. So they shouldn't have even lost the game in the World Series. That's how dominant they were. But, yes, they did pay attention to all that stuff, and we sort of saw that when they were celebrating. They're playing New York in the clubhouse. You saw the video of David Price saying, post that on your Instagram, to Alex Bregman after Eovaldi strikes him out in the ALCS. And then they're playing Kenley Jansen's walkout music after they won the World Series. They were playing California Love in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So they took bits and pieces from every opponent that they had, and then they just kept throwing that into the fire that kept them going.
They had a remarkable season. They completed the job after winning 108, but you know this. You understand this. You may not want to admit it. They're not the 98 Yankees, all right? The 98 Yankees will still stand as the greatest team of the last 50 years. You understand that, though, right, Jared?
I think it'd be an interesting series.
Yeah, interesting. And if the Yankees win or 4 or 5, that would be the real interest in it.
Oh, God, please.
Jared.
If David Price is what he was, and if Chris Sale were actually healthy, you have to remember, Red Sox just steamrolled to a World Series title with Chris Sale, who hasn't been healthy since like late July.
I get it.
Which is crazy. That's crazy to think about. So, yeah, and the other thing, too, when you were talking about the Red Sox have won in 04, they won in 07, 13, I think what makes this World Series title not sort of stand out but makes it a little bit more special, the first Red Sox World Series title in 100 years without David Ortiz. That's a pretty big deal, too.
Sure, I understand that. All right, Jared, I appreciate you popping on. I'm sure we'll talk to you as we get close to the 2019 season. Congratulations. You did great work on the Barstool. I did enjoy it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was fun to work with you this season. Look forward to doing more of it next year. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.